C7. Number 13B.
This is a big question, that constantly trying to make three stages, entities. We say, oh, well, this is the physical. Oh, well, this is the moral or the human. Oh, well, this is the spiritual or the real. Well, we have to make this distinction for the sake of understanding the whole thing. But are there three? If there are three, well, then we don't have a oneness of being. If there are three. And therefore, somehow, we have to get to know how we can solve that situation. And we can only solve it by seeing there is only one, namely one consciousness, the consciousness of truth. There is not the divine consciousness as an entity, and then there is a human consciousness as an entity, and that there is a mortal consciousness as an entity. That we cannot do. We must see that there is only one entity, the divine consciousness. And the moment I have that divine consciousness, I can keep up that divine consciousness no matter if I am living on a human plane or if I am living on a material plane. Or if I live on the spiritual plane. Therefore, we can go along the human way of life, or even the material way of life, and be a real good physicist that has to do only with the physical nature, and still can be a divine scientist. How? By seeing that in my consciousness I still can have divine science as the only science. And therefore, a physicist can be a wonderful divine scientist. And therefore, a chemist can be a wonderful divine scientist. That doesn't detract him from it. It's a matter how does he approach that subject. Does he approach the physical nature through a physical science, or does he approach it through a divine science? That's the question. And he will be a better physicist if he approaches it through divine science than through physical science. That's why Mrs. Eddy has somehow put forward the proposition that medical people should be Christian scientists, that doctors should be Christian scientists. Doesn't she say so? That she expected doctors to be Christian scientists, because she knows very well it is the consciousness that matters, not the field of application that matters. And therefore a housewife, I'm told that I should never use the term housewife in America. What do you call them? Household engineers or something like that?
House managers.
Well, can you see that therefore, no matter if I have to wash up, or if I have to sing a hymn, I can do it either with a spiritual consciousness or I can do it with a mortal consciousness. The field of application doesn't matter. What matters is our consciousness. So, if I apply my divine consciousness to the divine, it's the same consciousness as if I have that divine consciousness and have to go along a certain job as a physicist, as a chemist, or as anything, as a clockmaker, or as a doctor, or as what? It always depends how much of the spiritual consciousness I bring along with it. I always think of my sister. She didn't have a maid to look after the household, and during the war we didn't have washing machines and so on and so on and so on and so on. But she always treated her patient while she was washing up. That was her time. was so busy in the practice, but also busy in the household, that while she was cooking and washing up, she was treating the patient. She didn't need to sit down and look into a textbook to treat the patient. What is the difference if your eyes look at the page or if your hands are washing up? All what depends is your consciousness. So this is the footsteps of truth which she wants to bring out. So she presents in the first part of that wonderful chapter, first the form of the divine consciousness, which she says, look here, this divine consciousness is very human, because you can apply it wherever you want. And so the second part shows that if you use in the human your divine consciousness, that human is divine. And in the second part she starts out and says, look here, if you are a mother and have to look after children, if you are a school teacher and you have to teach little children, and if you are a doctor and have to look after the patient, and if you are a pastor and have to deliver a sermon, you can do it with one or the other consciousness. And you better do it with the divine consciousness. Then what you do humanly is divine, because it has the impact of the divine. Don't make that distinction between the human and divine. And that is quite a tragic thing, you know. You always come along students who say, oh, you know, I'm so busy in my life, but I love Christian Science dearly. I really wish I would have more time to devote to Christian Science, but I'm so terribly busy, you know. But you know, when I retire, then I will have time for Christian Science. I have never seen anyone that when he had retired after such a period that he had time for Christian Science. And if he had time for Christian Science, he didn't know what to do with Christian Science. He has missed the boat before. There is plenty of time for Christian Science if one is busy in a job. Plenty of time. We always can do any job, either with the intelligence of mind or with our own brain waves. There is always a way of going in an ordered way and do a job in an ordered way or in a disordered way. If I do it in an ordered way, I use Christian Science. I use the order of spirit. I can always do a job with consecration instead of superficially. Consecration is an idea of life. You put everything into it. We don't. We can do anything. You see, whatever we do, no matter if our object of application is to analyze the matter or to make an analysis of some cells or anything in a laboratory or whatever we do, how do I do it? With what consciousness do I do it? Do I do it according to laws and according to order and according to rules and according to system? Do I do it with all my heart or only half-hearted? Do I use the divine mind or the mortal mind? That's the question. I always think back when I had to do my thesis, my PhD thesis. It was just at the time when I was very much interested in the study of the synonym. I just had gone through class with John Dorley, and I just felt anything else to do except to study the synonym is just wasting my time. Until I suddenly found out, well, this is the best way of studying the synonyms. So I studied in the morning, I studied what is necessary to write the thesis. Well, if you write the thesis according to intelligence and according to laws and according to order, you certainly will find that you write the thesis in a structured way. If you write the thesis and don't rely on the human mind but on the inspiration of life and on the newness of life instead of just copying what other 200 books have already written and put it together into another book, but to think originally and not to read other books, but to go to the one life and see that has the spontaneity of life and the new brings new models of life and to go to truth and to see that the consciousness which is necessary to know what I have to write is fixed already in truth, and that it is not something that I have first to find out, that it is from of old and is established before Abraham was. And if I study that and if I did that, I just could write a thesis. I didn't take more time than the others. I wrote it in a shorter time than the others. But I devoted the whole morning to Christian Science because I knew this is writing a thesis, to know what is law, what is order, what is rule, what is system, what is method, what is plan, what is design, to know what that is, to know what is the origin of my intelligence, that mind is the origin of my intelligence, not my human brain, that what is the origin of my principal attitude, that it's not what I learned at the university in the lecture, but that principle teaches me the interpretation of the whole thing. You see, it's all there. There are not two different fields. There's one consciousness. There's only one consciousness. That's the footsteps of truth. That the divine is human. That the divine which we entertain as laws and order is actually very human, because it's that which enables us to do something right in the human. And the moment I do something right in the human, it is divine, it's not human. If I do something according to order and to rules and to laws and with deep consecration and being in earnest and so on, I use divine qualities. So it's divine, what I do in the human. And this naturally breaks down that concept that there is a distinction. Here is the divine and here is the human. 3/4 of an hour in the morning for the divine, the rest of the day for the human. You know, splitting up one's energy and one's time into two parts. That isn't so. So they come along, the students say, you have time, you have to, it's wonderful, you from morning to night, you know, they figure me that I get up in the morning early, you know, and I sit very comfortably in a chair and then I have my textbook and my Bible in front of me, and then I do nothing else but to read the Bible and the textbook until it gets dark and it's night and then I go to bed, you know. That's how they figure me, you know, just a guru somewhere up in the mountains, not quite in Tibet, but up in the Alps, you know. No, it's a rough time I have from morning to night, you know. I have to do the things that everybody has to do when he goes into an office and he has to take care of everything, not just anybody else. That doesn't make a Christian Scientist that he has his nose in the books. It's footsteps of truth that makes it. With what kind of a consciousness do I my daily job? And if I do that with a divine consciousness, I'm in the divine, I'm not in the human. And if I do in the human what I have in the divine consciousness, then that human thing is divine. So you have the divine and the human and divine is one. Yeah? That's how it works. All right. Yeah. Well, let's just try to summarize the oneness here. I guess we just can state it, the oneness here, as only one consciousness. Only one consciousness. And the dualistic sense naturally would be that we have a divine and a mortal consciousness. And you can quite clearly see where really the schizophrenia comes from. You have a split consciousness. That can come from that sense that you think you have to live two lives. That you have to live a Christian Science life, and then I have to live a human life, a mortal life. And you are torn to and fro until you are so split apart that you hardly don't know anymore who you are. Shall I be now a Christian Scientist, or have I now to be a housewife? what you call in the house? What do you call?
A homemaker.
A homemaker. Oh, that's good, huh? So you don't need to have a husband anymore to be a homemaker. Good. Very modern. Yeah. Yes. So that's that. All right. The law. The law, therefore, would state that the divinity of God is made manifest in the humanity of God. So the one consciousness, really, we can see here, you see, has its translating ability. So how can we elaborate it when we come to mind? What is the... Actually, we have to be now very clear. It has all to do now with that consciousness, the one consciousness. So that the divinity of God is the consciousness of God, therefore it must somehow depict the form of consciousness all through. Now, what would be that divine consciousness from the point of view of mind? It would be that that consciousness has scientific knowledge. That has scientific knowledge. That would be the divine consciousness at the point of mind. That its knowledge is scientific. And how does it show itself forth in the humanity of God? As what kind of consciousness? We have now to think. It would show itself forth in the spiritualization of consciousness, or in the spiritual education of consciousness. So that would be the impact it would have in the human, that the scientific consciousness, which forms the divine consciousness in mind, has its impact as the education of spiritual education of human thought. What is the spirit consciousness? The form of that consciousness, I think we could say, would be the understanding now of the spiritual facts. Understanding spiritual facts, instead of understanding material facts. It's understanding of spiritual facts. That the divine consciousness can do. How does it... Not a mistake, but I didn't warn you to make two columns, You made two columns, huh? The one column is the divinity and the other column is the humanity of God, huh? So in the divinity column of mind we had scientific knowledge, in the humanity of God we had education of human thought. Now we come to spirit. In the first column, therefore, we have the understanding of spiritual facts. In the second column, how does it show itself forth in the human? It gives a sense of the receptivity, spiritual receptivity in consciousness. In soul, it shows actually that that consciousness is constituted of spiritual sense, or spiritual understanding, spiritual sense. That's the form of divine consciousness. And when that precipitates itself as humanity, naturally begins to reform, so that everything conforms to God. We have a great sense of that consciousness that is willing to reform. We get to principle, we see that the form of the divine consciousness always goes out from a scientific standpoint. Principle is usually standpoint. Scientific standpoint, from which principle interprets itself. That shows itself forth in the human, that we can now explain the universe, that we find the explanation of the universe. In life, what is the form of consciousness method, the divine method, the spiritual method of life? Life now as consciousness is a spiritual method of life. And that shows itself forth in the human, that we live in the newness of life and not in the routine of life, not in the ruts of life, that we live in the newness of life. So it's there where Mrs. Eddy says, don't always recall dates and don't always remember birthdays and other dates and so on. Live in the newness of life, in the spontaneity of life, in the split-second experience of life. In truth, it is the liberating consciousness, the consciousness, the Christ consciousness, the liberating consciousness. And when that liberating consciousness precipitates itself on the human, it's still a liberating consciousness, it's still a Christ consciousness. What does it do? It does to the human that it awakes the human consciousness always to higher and higher stages. That's really there where we become aware more and more of the true consciousness. What is the kind of consciousness we have in love? What is the form of consciousness which we have in love? You know, love always says either I'm all or nothing. It's that consciousness which says, I don't know any more evil. I don't know any evil. I'm free from every evil. Consciousness that has, in which their evil has no more part. It's excluded. That's the true excommunication. Their evil is excommunicated from the divine consciousness. How does that precipitate itself on the human, shows itself forth in the human? In the human it is there where we become aware more and more of the falsities of evil and therefore begin to see more and more the nothingness of evil. The human self, she says there, the human self must be evangelized and, learns to know its own falsity, I think, something like that, she says. It begins to see its own falsity. That's divine, That's the divine consciousness in the human, when the human begins to see its own falsities and gives way. Yeah. Well, can you see again, when we go through these ideas, that we have completely different hues of the seven synonymous terms? They are all adapted to consciousness, to the form of consciousness, and they are adapted to two aspects of consciousness. The one column is the divine form of consciousness, and the other is showing what is now divine in the human consciousness. It's certainly something divine in the human consciousness when spiritual thought is when thought becomes spiritualized, when we become more receptive for the spiritual, when we begin to conform more to God, and then afterwards when we gain more and more the explanation of all things, where we live more and more in the now, when in truth we awake more and more to a higher and higher consciousness, and where in love we begin to see the falsity of evil. Can you see? These are forms of consciousness. Both are coined, are stamped, are formed, are molded by one consciousness. But they are translated form of that one. Yes. So, in this way, we would have finished the eighth chapter, and so tomorrow we will go on.